Thank you. probably like he's yeah like that again. It's gone there we have like it's gone East Africa yeah like all glory to the all glory to all glory to all glory to Sri Guru Sri Guru Hare Krishna Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya
Om Namo Bhagavate
Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya
Hare Krishna
Hare Krishna
I want to thank all of you for coming to the program. I must say I'm very happy to be here. This hall looks pretty good. It's renovated. There's a parking lot at one time. Am I right? On the car, where the car is parked now on the road. Or in the back. So some of you may know, this year is very special for ISKCON. Why is it special? Why? The Golden Jubilee of ISKCON Incorporation. Last year we celebrated the Golden Jubilee of Prabhupada sailing from India on the Jaladuta. 2016 we celebrate the Golden Jubilee of Prabhupada's establishing ISKCON. The next year is 2017. There's another occasion for Golden Jubilee. Does anyone know what it is? It's going to be the Golden Jubilee of the first Rath Yatra held by ISKCON. The first Rath Yatra was held by ISKCON in San Francisco in 1967. So we heard how Prabhupada struggled. He was ordered in 1922 by his spiritual master to take Lord Chaitanya's teachings to the Western countries. Prabhupada at that time was an active participant in Mahatma Gandhi's freedom movement. Prabhupada argued, who is going to listen to our message? First, we should make our country, India, independent. Bhakti Siddhanta Ji explained, real independence means freedom from the cycle of birth and death. The Prabhupada struggled for nearly 40 years. And finally, on August 13, 1965, he sailed on the Jaladuta. It was a 37-day voyage, and on the 13th day of his trip, he had two successive heart attacks. Prabhupada thought his movement would not be successful. He should go back to India. But then, he had a dream in which the Lord was rowing the boat, and on the boat the passengers were Prabhupada, Radharani, and the demigods. Imagine sailing in a boat with Radharani and the demigods and the Lord. And the Lord and Prabhupada was one of the passengers. And the Lord told Prabhupada, don't worry, your movement will be successful. So Prabhupada got great confidence after that dream. He arrived in New York in August. August 17 he landed in Boston, America. The captain of the ship was a man known by Captain Pandey. Nice man. His wife was also on the ship. Prabhupada had great respect for his wife. His wife saw Prabhupada's hand. She was a palmist, she said. You will be very successful. When Prabhupada was young, an astrologer in Mayapur told him, you will build a house in which the whole world can live. And Prabhupada did build a house in which the whole world can live. Today ISKCON has nearly 700 centers all over the world. In every continent, we should be having more in Africa, but there's 700 centers around the world. So, Captain Pandey took Prabhupada on a trip to see the city of Boston. Prabhupada saw how deeply rooted everybody was in a sense of enjoyment. Prabhupada wrote a poem. Prabhupada was also called in Vaishnava circles as a kavi. You know what a kavi means?
Poet.
So Prabhupada wrote a very famous poem. And he said, my dear Lord, you have brought me here. But who is going to listen to your message? People here are so addicted to sense enjoyment. But then he concluded, he said, if it is your desire, and may Radharani's mercy, anything is possible. So Prabhupada then proceeded to New York. Normally when you people go to India, how much minimum money do you carry? A few thousand dollars? Okay, anyway. Prabhupada traveled to America with only $7 in his pocket. 40 rupees. At that time it was 7 rupees to a dollar. Now it was 70 rupees to a dollar. And on the journey to America, he sold one Bhagavatam set. Prabhupada was taking with him 200 sets of Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto, in three parts. And he sold one first canto to the captain of the ship for $20. So, Prabhupada was also a big book distributor. So Prabhupada landed in New York with $25 in his pocket, $27. No connection. Prabhupada then proceeded to Butler, Pennsylvania. How many of you have been to America? Not many. So Butler, Pennsylvania was a town that was famous for making jeeps for the US Army. And they had a steel mill there. And there was one Gopal Agarwal who invited Prabhupada, who gave an invitation to Prabhupada, on the strength of which Prabhupada got a visa for America. The Prabhupada was staying in the house of this Gopal Agarwal in Butler, Pennsylvania. And the Gopal Agarwal had an American wife called Sally Agarwal. So these days in America, you see Indians everywhere. Like if you go to England, you don't feel you're in England. You feel you're in an extension of India. So, America is not so bad, but it's getting there. But those days in 66, there were very few Indians. So everybody was telephoning Sally Agarwal and asking her, who is this Indian sadhu staying in your house? What does he do? So Sally Agarwal was very smart. She arranged a press conference for Prabhupada. She said, everyone's phoning me. In those days there were no cell phones. It was only landline. So everyone was telephoning her and asking, who is this new sadhu in your... In those days, seeing a sadhu in a small town like Butler, forget New York. Butler was a very small town. So she arranged a press interview for Prabhupada, a press conference. The next day, in a newspaper called the Butler Eagle. In America they have all these crazy names. The Butler Eagle is a daily newspaper. There was an article, Indian Sanskrit scholar comes to America, and he's in Butler. So next to Butler was another town where there was a college called Slippery Rock College. Can you have such a name in Kenya? In America, you have all these crazy names. Slippery Rock College. Pesalewala Pathar. That was the name of the college. So one professor from Slippery Rock College, he was a professor of Indology. Indology means science of Oriental science. He read that article that a Sanskrit scholar from India, the author of the Srimad Bhagavatam, is in Butler. So he telephoned Sally Agarwal and said, can we invite that Swamiji who is staying in your house to give a lecture? But this time Prabhupada had moved to stay in the YMCA. And because Sally Agarwal had a small house. So Prabhupada went and gave his first lecture to the American audience. It was all American students, about 100. And after the lecture, this was Prabhupada's first lecture to Americans. And Prabhupada had come to America to establish Vedic culture with the Americans. So Prabhupada gave a lecture, and after the lecture he said, any questions? And the American students asked him such challenging questions that Prabhupada was convinced they are ready for Krishna consciousness. So then Prabhupada went back to Butler and he proceeded to New York. He proceeded to New York with virtually no connections. There was one Dr. Mishra. He was a medical doctor. But then he gave up that profession and became a yoga teacher. So he was in America. And he had established a nice ashram. So Prabhupada stayed as his guest. But Mishra noted, Prabhupada would cook for Dr. Mishra. When Dr. Mishra was sick, he loved Prabhupada's cooking. But what he didn't like was that his students were getting attracted to Prabhupada. Prabhupada was there. He would make Prabhupada do kirtan. So Prabhupada used to do kirtan. And he saw his students were getting attracted to Prabhupada's kirtan and Prabhupada's lecture. So he was worried his own following is going to go down. So he told Prabhupada, Swamiji, you better find some other place to live. So Prabhupada had to leave that place. Then Prabhupada stayed in a loft. You know what is a loft? Who knows?
It's an apartment.
No, a loft is? No.
It's in a room.
It's the opposite of a penthouse. A loft is like a warehouse. You know what is a warehouse? It's a godown. where you store things. So there was a loft that belonged to a drug addict. You know what's a drug addict? What is that drug addict?
Makes drugs.
Okay. Someone lives by drugs. So he was a drug addict. Drug addicts take drugs 24 hours. So Prabhupada had no place to go. So one day the drug addict came to basically beat Prabhupada, attack Prabhupada. He had to leave that place in the middle of the night. Then Prabhupada had taken with him from India a drum, not a mridanga, a dholki. So Prabhupada would go to a park called Tompkins Square Park. You go to Tompkins Square Park now, there's a plaque on the tree where Prabhupada started the movement. On that plaque it is written, "This is a tree where the founder of the Krishna Consciousness Movement sat and started preaching." Prabhupada would go and do kirtan underneath the tree. And slowly, slowly, devotees started coming. One of them was the late Brahmananda Maharaj, who passed away 2 years ago. Brahmananda Maharaj was very active in developing the Kenyan Yatra. He was an American. And then Prabhupada got some followers, and they were deciding how to register the society. Prabhupada had a lot of legal experience in India. So Prabhupada wanted to register a religious society. When Prabhupada was discussing with his followers what name to give, people said, "International Society for God Consciousness." Prabhupada rejected it. He said, "God is not specific. We call our society International Society for Krishna Consciousness." Some people said, "Oh, nobody will follow." Prabhupada did not care. Prabhupada, when he was in New York, he once had a meeting with the Swamis. And the Swamis were telling him, "Swamiji, you are too old-fashioned. You should also become like us. Wear suits. Learn to eat with fork and knife. You know, fork and knife, the rest of the life." And then, you may even get some girlfriends, some rich widows. This way nobody's going to join you. The Prabhupada refused to compromise. And then finally, in July 1966, Prabhupada registered International Society for Prabhupada always knew this would be worldwide. Before Prabhupada moved to establish ISKCON, once Prabhupada was sitting down on a bench in New York, and next to him was a bus conductor called Mr. Rubin. In America, whether you're a bus conductor or whether you're a chief executive, they mix freely. They don't have, like in India, status. If you're a bus conductor, you can't talk to any big man. There's no this. So Prabhupada was sitting with that man on the bench in a park. And then Mr. Rubin asked Prabhupada, "What do you do, Swami? What do you do?" And Swami said, "I'm here to preach. I have temples. I have devotees waiting all over the world. Only time is separating us." In other words, even before Prabhupada got anything going, he was confident that Krishna consciousness will take off. And then, after registering ISKCON, Prabhupada wanted to open a temple. Devotees were looking for a temple, and they found a storefront. You know what's a storefront? A storefront is a shop on the main road, but a small shop. So devotees were looking for a location to start a temple. The storefront had $125 a month rent. And opposite the storefront, they took an apartment for Prabhupada. $75 a month rent. And in the storefront, it was previously a boutique, an Indian boutique or some boutique. So the previous tenants, they vacated it. They took everything out of the shop. One thing they forgot. What was that? To rub off the name of the shop. That shop previously was called the Matchless Gift. The Matchless Gift means a gift that cannot be compared to anything. So when the devotees, they were all American devotees at that time. And when the devotees saw Matchless Gift, they were in ecstasy. Yes, Krishna consciousness is the Matchless Gift. And the storefront opened in New York in 1966. And then Prabhupada opened the second temple in San Francisco. And in San Francisco, one day, one of Prabhupada's disciples, Malati Dasi, she was an American, married to Shyam Sundar, and they had a daughter called Saraswati. So Malati had gone to a store called Cost Plus, where they sold Indian items. And there she saw some dolls. Actually, they were Jagannath Subhadra Balaram. But they were being sold as Indian dolls. And they were 3-inch tall. I have a 3-inch Jagannath in my room. So they were being sold as Indian dolls. So she just bought one of them and took them to Prabhupada. Those days Prabhupada was called Swamiji. She took it to Swamiji. Swamiji, I found this doll at an Indian store. Prabhupada at once paid respects to the doll. She was surprised. Prabhupada being Dandabhash was a doll. And Prabhupada said, this is not a doll. This is Lord Jagannath, Lord of the universe. And then Prabhupada said, were there any other companions to this deity? So she went back to the store and she found there were two others. They were Balaram and Subhadra. So she presented these three to Prabhupada. Prabhupada placed them on his table. Jagannath Subhadra Balaram offered obeisances. And he asked the devotees, is there anyone here who knows how to carve? At that time, there were only a few devotees, but they were very dedicated. And Shyam Sundar, Malati's husband, was a chemical engineer by education. And Americans are quite talented and they're quite versatile. They're good in many areas. So this Shyam Sundar said, Prabhupada, I can carve. So he, according to Prabhupada's description, he carved Jagannath Subhadra Balaram. And did it so beautifully that if you get, you see it, you'll be surprised. We have a medical doctor in Russia. I spend a lot of time in Russia. You have a medical doctor in Russia. He works in a hospital in the emergency section. But he's also an artist. In his spare time, he carves Lord Jagannath deities. Big ones like in India and paint them. And if you see those Jagannath deities, you will not be able to say whether they're made in Puri or Russia. In fact, I find them even better than the ones in Puri. He makes the big Jagannaths. Anyone who wants it, he makes it for them. So, Shyamchandra made these Jagannath deities. And there was another American devotee called Jayananda. He passed away in 1976, I think. Jayananda Prabhu was an American devotee. He should drive a taxi. And the money that he would earn, he would give it for making Lord Jagannath's Rath Yatra. And this Jayananda later on got cancer. So he would get money from the government of America to buy medicine for his cancer. But he would not buy the medicine. He would give that money for Lord Jagannath's Rath Yatra. And he personally made the Rath Yatra. And then the first Rath Yatra was held in San Francisco. So after establishing the movement in America, Prabhupada wanted to establish the movement in Europe. So there were three American couples, Shyamchandra and his wife, Mukunda and his wife, and Gurudas and his wife. Gurudas' wife was Yamuna. She passed away last year, 2 years ago. She recorded a famous bhajan, Govindamadi Purusam. You hear that every day when you read the deity. That was sung by Govindamadi. That was sung by Yamuna Mataji. She also wrote several cookbooks. She also supervised the installation of the deities in Vrindavan, preparing for the Vrindavan temple. So anyway, Prabhupada sent these devotees to England. I was in Montreal in 68, Montreal, Canada. And these devotees had come to Montreal get personal direction from Prabhupada. And then they went to England. When they went to England, they got friendly with the Beatles. You heard of the Beatles? No. Yes. Have you ever heard of the Beatles? Okay, good. Anyway, at least at that time, the Beatles were like demigods. They were like on top of the world. And they were Kali Yuga demigods, are the movie stars and sports stars. So, anyway, he got friendly with the Beatles, with John Lennon and George Harrison. And George Harrison started chanting Hare Krishna mantra. And then Apple Records produced a record in which a record on the Hare Krishna mantra. And that became a big hit all over Europe. It was on top of the charts. And then Krishna consciousness got established in England. And from England it went to other parts of Europe. And then Prabhupada also concentrated to send devotees to Africa and other parts of the world. So we are celebrating the Golden Jubilee of ISKCON. As of now, there are nearly 700 temples around the world. There are over 100 farms. I believe we have a farm in Nairobi now. I haven't seen it. I'm eager to see it. Over 100 farms. About 120 Govinda restaurants. And over 60 crore. Books of Prabhupada have been sold in over 80 languages. They've been distributed in over 80 languages of the world. As some of you may know, there's a book marathon going on all over the world. And I was just presented with the scores of the Nairobi Temple. I usually read the newsletter that gives scores on Africa. And at least in last year, Kenya was ahead of South Africa. But now South Africa has overtaken Kenya. I used to say, tiny Kenya. Would you hear the scores? Yeah? Can I read out? George, you don't know George here? Where? You stand up. He distributed 120 books. Esther Macharia. Is he here, Esther Macharia? She's not here. You should have called her. She's sick. She's sick. Neeta Sharma, Esther did 10 books. Neeta Sharma's here. Neeta Sharma did 145 books. Ramakant Das. Oh, he's preparing for the function in Mombasa. He did 250 books. Ranjam Krishna Das. He didn't kiss him. He didn't come by jumping. He did 75 books. And the weekend warriors. Weekend warrior means those who are not full-time distributors. But on the weekend they go. In America this is very common. In America we have hundreds of devotees, like all of you. They do jobs, but on Saturday, Sunday, they go out preaching. So they call the weekend warrior dead. 1,433 books. Who amongst you are part of the weekend warrior program? Thank you very much. Then the Namahat group has head of Rukmohan. Who is the head of the group? Rukmohan. They distributed 1,007 books. And Veda Tattva Das. And Chaitanya Devadatta. They distributed 449 books. Srila Prabhupada warriors. I thought everyone was a Prabhupada warrior. Who are members of Srila Prabhupada warriors? Stand up, Prabhupada warriors. That's all?
They left with another bus.
Oh, so we'll do this program in Mombasa also. So they've already left for Mombasa. Umapati Das, 493. The gift shop, Malik. And who is at the top? Vaishnavi Sangha, headed by? Lord, please stand up. Yes, please accept this garland. A small token of appreciation. He does book distribution all year. Is it? And she and her group, who are the other members of your group? Can they stand up? These are all Vaishnavi and Vaishnava Sangha. Okay. So they distributed in total 21,000. books. Thank you. These are all small books.
No. There are
20,000
small books and the rest are big
maha
and
medium. 1,376 big. 1,893 mediums. 21,000 small. Prabhupada Prabhupada encouraged book distribution. Why is that? Why did Prabhupada encourage book distribution? Because these books contain knowledge. There are two types of knowledge. One is spiritual knowledge, the other is material knowledge. Material knowledge you get in schools and colleges. But where is the spiritual knowledge? Today all over the world, you have people with degrees, but they do not know what to do with their human life. They have no idea what to do. People are confused a lot. So these books have spiritual knowledge, and the world is starving because of lack of spiritual knowledge. There's so much of crime, etc. All due to lack of spiritual knowledge. So these books, they help understand what is the goal of life. Who am I? Am I this body? Or am I something else? What am I, this body? What am I? And what does Krishna say about the soul? Never takes birth, never dies. It's eternal. So we should not only distribute Prabhupada's books, but we should also read Prabhupada's books. Reading is very necessary. How many of you read at least the Bhagavad Gita every day? We have a sannyasi in our movement, Prabhupada disciple, called Praladananda Maharaj. He's been a devotee for about 42 years. He's read the Gita 150 times. So I asked him, how do you read 150 times? And the whole Gita with the purport. He said, I made a quota. I'll read 10 verses a day with purport. So I do that every day. In 40 years, he read it 150 times. So, you have to make a quota. I'll read at least one shloka with purport. Two shlokas with purport. Every day. And you will find the spiritual knowledge will increase. So you have to take into Krishna consciousness. Please take the Krishna consciousness seriously. There's danger at every step. There's always misery in life. The Krishna consciousness is a blissful process. Brahma Muta Prasanatma Sojatina Kanchari. So please take the Krishna consciousness seriously and be happy. Hare Krishna. Amen. I wanted to leave some time for questions. Do you all have any questions? Any questions? Karna? Yes.
Maharaj, it's I have a personal question. How do you keep going on?
Keep going on?
They call you the ever-ready battery that never fails.
So
how do you keep going on?
Keep chanting and Krishna will give you the energy. Any more questions? Yes, Mansi Ganga.
Maharaj, can you skip reading Bhagavad Gita and jump on to Bhagavata?
Well, at least first you should have done the Gita. You can do that. The Bhagavad Gita is the ABC of spiritual knowledge. So you should, if you've done the Gita, then you can go to the Bhagavatam. But at least we shouldn't do the Gita. There's no rule that says you can't do the Bhagavatam. But if you're doing the Bhagavatam, at least do the Gita alongside. More questions from our local devotees? No questions? Yes. We need to know what to do, just like a child when he's growing up. He's always asking his mother, can I do this, can I do that, can I eat this, can I eat this, alright? So we need to know what to do with this human form of life. Should I become a drug addict? Should I become an alcoholic? Or should I do something that's right? So Bhagavad Gita is like a manual for humanity. And we should not think that Bhagavad Gita is a sectarian book, a book for the Hindus or Indians. Krishna says, I'm the seed-giving father of all living entities. Today the Bhagavad Gita has been translated in more than 80 languages of the world. We had it one time as Swahili edition also. But people prefer reading in English here. So, and Bhagavad Gita is spoken by Krishna. It is eternal wisdom. What's a local time? I'm still on Indian time.
9:05.
Okay, any more questions? No questions. I think you'll have a high IQ. Okay, yes.
Maharaj, if I'm a Krishna conscious devotee and my family gathered, what will I do with them?
Good question. It's a universal question. We have the same problem in Russia. Sometimes the wives have taken to Krishna consciousness and the husbands haven't. Sometimes the husbands have taken and the wives haven't. So, you know, and same problem in India too. Sometimes the husbands take and the wives don't. You keep practicing your Krishna consciousness. You're fortunate. And the family doesn't. What can you do? You can only try. But don't let your own Krishna conscience get weak. And try and give them Krishna prasad. That's all. Prasad is so purifying and so pure, it can purify anyone. Is that correct? But you don't give up your Krishna consciousness. If they want to take poison, what can you do? At least you drink the nectar. Okay? Okay. Any more questions? No? No more questions. So I'll stop at this point. I believe some of you are going by bus to... Prabhupada used to say that asking questions is what? It's a sign of intelligence. Not asking questions is a sign of the opposite. Okay, thank you very much.
Okay. I'm going to go.